Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Welcome to The Bistro for the Better Business Bureau. I'm Elaine Espinola. As we approach the new year, thoughts of New Year's resolutions come to mind. Among the many things we vow to improve in the new year, we notice that many Americans add making more money, saving more money, or landing a better job to improve finances to their list of resolutions. On The Bistro today, we're highlighting some of our top financial planning episodes from 2018 to inspire you as you resolve to make more and save more in 2019. Joining us in the studio is Nona Finn, Project Director with BBB Podcasts, to help share this year in review and financial lessons learned in 2018. Nona, thanks for joining us in the studio today to go over this financial year in review.
Lane, I am so thrilled to be here, you know, talking about some of our top financial readiness episodes. We really have had some great guests on, and it's always fun to take a look back and refresh our memories on some of the awesome things we've learned from them. And what I love most about this topic is not only did we have organizations on that shared great advice and helped us to point out the priceless resources available, but they themselves have been a source of awesome resources that we have learned from. And those individuals, those organizations who take individuals and sort of hold them by the hand through financial freedom. So I'm excited to talk about this as I know we're all thinking about it for 2019. How can we make more and owe less?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I personally learned a lot myself, and these are great episodes. I'm really glad we're bringing them back up again, because as you said, we're starting to think about these New Year's resolutions and it's on everyone's mind. So Nona, which ones top your list to share with our listeners today?
You know, I really enjoyed one that happened in April 2017. I know I'm going way back here, but Yvette Butler, the president of Capital One, she came on to talk about investing during Financial Literacy Month. And I really, really love that, because I have to admit, I am so ignorant when it comes to investing. And really, it's a fear. And I love it, because in the first couple of minutes, she really tackled sort of the fear of investing and why we should not be afraid. So that is one of my favorites. And then the second one I really loved was from the National Endowment for Financial Education. This has got to be one of my fave, because this organization was not just about financial education. And I believe that anything education, when you teach people, it's sort of that saying, you know, teach a man how to fish and he will not be hungry. Mm-hmm. So I loved that, that it wasn't just about education, though, but they really rolled up their sleeves to help individuals through financial crisis and bring them to financial freedom. So those are my top two. What about you?
Yeah, well, I'd agree with those. And, you know, mainly as I think about some of the ones that we're going to highlight today, there was so much passion coming from the guests, as you mentioned. It's not just that their organizations are fantastic, but really phenomenal guests sharing their company's mission and their organization's missions. One of those episodes was with Mara Schaus and Todd Youngdahl from Washington Wealth Advisors when they came on to talk about the new tax reform and the changes. I really liked that one because it was super applicable. You know, it's going to affect us this upcoming year.
Here we go.
And, you know, knowledge is power. We need to know what these changes are. They're going to affect a lot of people. So I thought that was a really great one. And then I'm trying to think. I think it was the end of February last year. We had another great one with Madeline from America Saves.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yes, she came on during America Saves Week, which I thought was a great one because, you know, at the end of the day, financial freedom comes from, you know, having money to that you're saving. You know, you can't do all of these amazing things. Yes, we're making money, but if you're not saving money for those rainy days and other things like that, you know, that's just a critical piece. And she really focused a lot of that. It was helpful to me. I thought that was a great episode.
I agree.
Why don't we talk through each of them and then share some of the best tips and advice that we got from each. And let's start with the interview with Yvette Butler, who was the president of Capital One Investing. What were some of the main pieces of advice she shared?
You know, Elaine, the first thing she said was take baby steps. And that was important to me because when I am intimidated by something and I see sort of like Goliath, the big giant, like, let me just see his shoe and then I maybe can face him. And so when she talked about taking baby steps and cutting out the things we don't need, like the daily coffee or just creating a budget for ourselves and maybe even going with with automatic investing. So that way it's sort of set it and forget it, I think is the phrase that she used. So I really loved that. She also, I think it was a quote that she came up with or said about, now more than ever, Americans are responsible for their own long-term financial stability. That quote hit me really hard. It was like a big kick in the pants for me because she's right. We sort of control our financial future, and it's more onus on us today. And so if we're not thinking about it now, then what do we expect for tomorrow? And so that really set with me and does not leave me. It's like you got to get over this fear because you have to start planning for tomorrow, and investing is a part of that piece. And just for kicks, you know, I always love mentioning millennials because I just slid right into being one. And so she came talking about the research that they did and how the millennials are redefining, how we are redefining the American dream, and how it used to be about accumulation, but that's not the case anymore. It's more now about financial freedom, not owing debt, being free to live out your passion and your purpose, not feeling like you have to work because or take any job just because you need the money, but to live out what your heart's desires are. And I would agree so wholeheartedly that that's for me. Like, I don't have to be rich. Now, if I'm going to, I'll take it. But I do want to not have to owe everyone money or be able to take a trip if I want to, or go visit say bye to my grandmother. Remember, my grandmother passed away and I couldn't go say bye to her. My family's from Jamaica, so that's where they were burying her because I didn't have the money.
Right.
I just didn't have it. And so I missed out on that. And so being able to be just financially free so I can live life how I desire, that money doesn't have a hold on me, but I have a hold on it. So that's why those were three things that kind of stood out to me from that episode.
Yeah, I agree that millennials are bringing this great standpoint of working to live, not living to work.
Oh,
and
I
that's
love
quite
that.
Different than years past. And again, you mentioned it's sort of this passion for life and, okay, well, what can I do to work that I love?
Yes.
I don't want to just work some
right.
bad job.
Yeah.
I want to work a job that I love and make great money doing it. It's all
that.
About that. And you mentioned those automatic savings that Yvette had brought up. I am all about that as well. Very lucky that when I started my career in pharmaceutical sales many years ago, I sat down. I remember there was like an 800 number and it was like, call this number and they'll help you set this 401k stuff up.
Ooh.
I didn't know what that was, but I said, well, let me call the number. Someone recommended it, HR. I called. We set it all up. I mean, I was familiar, but not familiar,
yeah.
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, but she walked me through it and I started that like the first month I started working.
Yeah.
And that was like the smartest thing I ever did because you set it and it's done. You
yep.
don't think about it. And that was something that Yvette really focus on, and it's not too late, even if you've been working for an organization for a year, two
Absolutely.
Years, 5 years, it's not too late to go, let me start doing that because I haven't. It's not too late. So that was important. And also, I really, of course, love the tip. And as you mentioned, saving for that rainy day, saving for that time when you need the money now.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know it's there.
Yeah.
We've all been there. As you mentioned, you were there with your grandmother. We've had things break in our household. No one is trying to wake up and have their dishwasher break.
Ugh,
that's not a fun day. That's not a fun day. It's broken. It's water everywhere. But you can make it less painful if you have the money set aside to go, okay, I need to go to Home Depot right now and get a new one.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that money, it's even worse. It's
yeah.
horrible. So great tip there. Let's talk about the new tax reform. Then the next episode that I think was a really great one. Shortly after it was revealed to Americans, we did invite Maura Schaus and Todd Youngdahl, managing partners at Washington Wealth Advisors, to join us to walk through the details of the Tax Cuts and Job Acts legislation. And they offered really, really helpful advice on navigating through the changes that affect us. Some of the things I remember Maura talked about was evaluating whether people will qualify for the itemized deductions versus the standard deductions. We talked a lot about home buying and selling and improvements and how that's going to change with the new reform. We also talked about how mortgages will be impacted. And also one that I was kind of piqued my interest was the 529 college savings plan. They're not just for colleges anymore. That's new. So those were some of the highlights I think that she discussed on that episode. And by the way, if you're listening right now, you can listen to that full episode
yes,
just by going back. Yeah, just by going back on iTunes, pull up that episode. You can listen to the full 15 minutes. Highly encourage anyone to do that.
Absolutely. I agree with that, Elaine, because we are rolling up on tax season, aren't we, very quickly. So it's a great episode to listen to and be reminded about some of these changes. And, you know, for me, I was super excited to hear about the fact that I'm a current homeowner, so the changes don't apply to me.
There you go.
I was being a little selfish on that one. But of course, we know for the new homeowners that only $750,000, I think, of their mortgage debt would be tax deductible versus the $1 million. So that is definitely a big change. And personally, I was really piqued and my ears were kind of tuned in as I was listening to them discuss about the charitable contributions. I am a big believer in giving to charity and contributing. And so I'm really interested in to see how that's going to change and impact me as a taxpayer on this coming tax paying season. So I'm sort of waiting to see what that looks like. But that was something that I'm still studying, still trying to understand. And I guess I really will know what it looks like in the next couple months here.
That's right, because it's coming up. That's coming. For sure. Let's talk about the next one, which you mentioned was your fave from last year. And that was during Financial Literacy Month, we had Paul Golden, the Director of Media Relations with the National Endowment for Financial Education. He joined us on the Bistro to share tips and advice to inspire educated financial decision making through every stage of life. That was really the focus there, every stage of life. What were some of the top pieces of advice you took from that, Nona?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier about that education piece. I was just really sort of taken aback in a delightful way that this organization really just holds the hands of even teachers so they can help students understand what it looks like to be financially sound and educated. You know, I remember being in school, I'm taught 1 + 1 is 2, but I think that's very different than understanding money and what that looks like for you to live on a daily basis. I might be giving away my age a little bit. I remember being taught how to write a check, but that's probably where it ended, right? When it came to just really understanding your own finances. So I just really, enjoy that there is this organization that takes it that step further. Like, let's even begin at the school level, because we all know when we're taught something as a kid, it is so hard to depart and sort of walk away from that understanding. And I think understanding finances as a child is very, very important.
Absolutely.
So that is something that's a highlight that has stuck with me, that has had me sort of digging into this organization since Paul has been on to speak with us. And, something that he really said as well that honed in on me is, parents have the most influence over our children. And we live in a different time, right? He'd mentioned that we don't really see the tangible money anymore. And so it's really hard for children to understand money if we're not teaching it to them, because they see credit cards, right, or they see online shopping.
That's really their mindset of,
that's it,
of money. It's not cash.
That's
I don't
it.
Even carry cash.
It's a plastic thing.
Yes.
Or
it's a click on the computer.
And it shows up 2 days later, even sometimes the same day,
yes,
at the house. So we have that sort of responsibility at home to say, all right, this is what it means. This is money in, money out, and this is what it looks like. So we have a chore thing going on at home,
yeah,
that helps. And it's even this cute little magnet thing with smiley faces, and each smiley face is a quarter. And I've told her, like, you have the potential here to earn $50, but every week you earn a dollar. Come
yeah.
on, you know, yeah. It's just really take a look at it. So I really, I really love the reminder that we have that responsibility as parents, is that just to pass down that knowledge. And if we don't have it, that we can gain it ourselves,
yeah,
and work with the teachers and schools and just really work with our kids to understand that better.
Yeah.
Of course, I mentioned earlier that they are not only an organization that talks the talk, excuse my pun, but they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
They partner with over 120 organizations that are helping individuals who are going to be down in their luck because of the other things happening in their lives, like the American Cancer Society, dealing with not just a sickness, but an expensive one to take care of. How do I help individuals through that? As well as Just for Success, having women get back on their feet and learning what it looks like, again, to have a hold on money and not have that money hold you. So
yeah.
I really just love that they roll up their sleeves and they're about doing, not just talking.
Absolutely. It is a phenomenal organization. organization. I feel like I've come to know that organization as well as Paul pretty well just through the year, through my interview and my research. And then we had them on again on the Better Business, Better Series podcast as we talked about the outgoing and incoming CEOs and what that transition looks like. So again, gotten to know them very well. And I mentioned earlier that one of the things I really love about all of the organizations that we're highlighting today is the passion.
Yes.
And you really hit the nail on the head. They truly care about what they do. It is very evident from all of the work that they do. And I also agree with you that the emphasis on starting young with kids for financial education is the key. And with all of the free resources that they offer.
Free
resources. Really, guys, there's no excuse
F-R-E-E.
To not. That's right. If you are wondering, how do I have this talk with my kids? Or perhaps it's not even on your radar because we're so busy living our life. If you're listening to this podcast, go Google the National Endowment for Financial Education and just take a look at their website. They offer so many great resources. And if you just pick up one tip from that website or from what you're listening today, that would be awesome because it's all about planning for our future and teaching those kids young is the way to do it. If you
I
ask
agree,
me.
Elaine.
Speaking of making better financial decisions, saving is something most of us strive to do. And as people think about their year ahead, maybe some plans they want to pursue in 2018, perhaps you're thinking about buying a home this year, a new car this year, if you're going on vacation, whatever it may be that you are planning to do in 2019, I'm pretty sure that saving for it is probably part of that equation, whether you've already saved for it or now you're going, well, okay, there's something I want to do. I need to start saving. You know, we had a really great podcast episode again during America Saves Week with Madeline Daniels. She joined us to share ways to put our savings plan into action. What were some of her specific tips, Nona?
Elaine, there is just one that really screamed out at me, and that is plan. Create a plan to save. I would say out of everything we talked about today, that is probably one of the hardest pieces for financial readiness is to actually save. Saving is hard because things come up. You know, it's almost just like money in, money out. But when you have a plan, it's really hard to not follow that. I'm a big planner. You know, I'm a marketer at heart. That's what I do day in, day out is create marketing plans. It's very rare that I give a plan to a client and we set it in motion and we just decide, let's pretend like it's not there. We won't do it.
Right.
When you have a plan in place, it's really hard not to follow through, not to follow that plan and ensure that point A through point Z is happening. And I really, that rung true for me when Madeline said that, because it's like, you know what? I plan everything else in my life, but I definitely don't plan to save or how I'm going to save. I might have a figure in my head, but how I'm going to get to that goal, we'll wing it.
Especially if the day-to-day is happening,
too,
at the same time. Right.
You're so busy throughout the day. Oh, yeah, I'll cut back on that cup of coffee. Okay, really?
Right.
But when things are written, when things are planned, it's almost accountability comes in there.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to fight with accountability. It's sort of that conscious thing that's speaking to you on a regular. So that just rang through. And I think that's what America Saves is all about, having that plan, having it in place. And so for me, that's the biggest tip I walked away from when it came to listening to Madeline talk through America Saves Week and how to be engaged.
Yeah, planning is everything. I couldn't agree with you more. Something I took away from the episode was about setting goals. And that goes hand in hand with that planning. But and I'm not talking about those long term goals. Of course, yes, I am planning for my retirement. I have three kids and we have goals and we're planning for that. But I'm talking about for me, what I want to do after listening to that episode is start planning for those short-term goals that are going to happen this year. And they don't have to be big things. But, you know, my daughter wants to redo her bedroom. And, you know, I can either plan for that, come up with a plan, save for that. And then when it's, you know, when we start to spend the money on the new bed and the new this and new that, it's done. Because like you said, I can wing it and, you know, and then I'm maybe taking from other buckets.
Yep.
But it just feels better to plan for it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I walked away from that episode.
So, good point. Short-term goals.
Short-term
goals. I don't know if we think about short-term goals.
Yeah.
We're definitely thinking about retirement.
We are. Right. And that's hard, too, because it's like so far in the future, we're like, oh, I don't know.
I won't get that old.
Right. Never. No. Yeah. So a lot of great tips came from that episode. A lot of great tips came from all of these episodes. This has really been a great review of our top financial planning episodes from 2018. And I know you snuck one in there from 2017, but that was a really good one as well. Again, I have personally learned a lot from researching these topics and interviewing our guests, and I've been inspired to make better financial decisions moving forward. Is there anything you're planning for in 2019, Nona, and that this advice has inspired you?
You know, I, in 2018, started a business, and so I am planning on what that needs to look like financially for 2019, as well as, you know, now that you mentioned short-term goals, there's a birthday party I should plan for in February, so we should probably get that all put together. But for 2019, I'm definitely in planning on for growth and expansion when it comes to that. So that is, from a financial standpoint, has been something that I have been fleshing out and using the advice that we've gotten from these episodes and applying it to creating that plan.
Excellent. Well, wishing you all the very best in 2019 as you implement.
You too as well, Elaine.
Thank you, as we both implement all of the great advice that we've learned on some of our top financial readiness episodes from 2018 on The Bistro. Nona, thank you for joining us. Can you share with our listeners the website for them to check out all of these great episodes?
Absolutely. You can find these four episodes as well as so many others on betterbusiness.blueberry, that's BLUBRRY.com.
Excellent, and we hope you do. For the Better Business Bureau, I'm Elena Spinola, host of the Bistro Podcast. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this year in review. We look forward to more great interviews with consumer experts in 2019. Until then, it has been my pleasure discussing better business with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro Podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.